live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks.
Hey guys, you've heard of the Young Turks podcast because you're listening to it right now. But make sure that you subscribe and give it a 5-star rating if you like it. Thank you for listening.
All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Janky, Grant, and Kasparin with you guys. So I promised you that there'd be two dramatic announcements this week, one today and one on Thursday. And we were teasing that one of them might be an endorsement. It is in fact an endorsement, and it is in fact happening today. In fact, for the price of one, you're gonna get two endorsements. So Anna will be doing an endorsement. If you've been watching the show, that one will be a little less surprising.
Right, but now I have some deets.
Oh, okay, interesting, okay. And I will also be doing an endorsement. We're gonna do that in the second segment. Don't miss it, share the stream, tell your friends, family, and of course, Randy Gonzalez.
I do have a pressing question.
Yes.
Are you wearing a pocket square? Is that
what
that
is? But it does look like that because the whiteness in that is peeking
out. The lining. I'm like, wow, chick's wearing a pocket square. Jeez.
It would never happen.
It would never happen. That's why I was surprised.
Because I'm not classy or sophisticated or any of those things enough to wear a pocket square. We have a ton of news about the campaigns on top of the endorsements. We're gonna start with Trump because there's obviously incredible news on that front as well. He also made up an incredible lie today. I don't even know if we'll get to that. But if the endorsements are today, then what's the dramatic news on Thursday? Okay, stay tuned everybody. All right, Anna, let's get started.
All right. So actually, before we get started with stories, I do wanna make a few announcements. First off, next week we will be doing special Georgia debate coverage. The Democratic candidates will be debating in Georgia, and TYT will be providing special coverage after our main show. We will go live with our coverage at 11 p.m. Eastern time, 8 p.m. Pacific. And on the panel, we'll have John Iderola, Ida Rodriguez, J.R. Jackson, and myself. Also, just a quick note, if you're looking for a financial institution to keep your money in, Aspiration is a great option. Go to aspiration.com/TYT and you'll learn more about it. In fact, we're gonna throw in a special bonus of 1 month free of TYT membership. So if you're already a member, we'll send you a Shop TYT credit. Just head over to tyt.com/free30 after you open up your account with Aspiration and we'll get that set up for you.
Yeah, and they don't put any of your money into fossil fuels companies. I mean, among the 100 other advantages. But look, you gotta keep your money clean, I'm serious. So aspiration.com/TYT, it's a win-win for everybody. All right, what's next?
All right. As the impeachment investigation heats up and as it becomes more public this week, the Republicans are trying to find strategies to defend Donald Trump. And based on the details we know about their defense strategy, it's not looking so good for Donald Trump. In fact, we're gonna go through their four-pronged approach and very easily dismantle it on this show. So let's start off with what we know so far. Republican staff on three panels, according to CNN, involved in the impeachment investigation have drafted a detailed memo circulated to GOP members of all three committees who were doing the impeachment investigation and obtained by CNN, outlining their defense of President Donald Trump. These four key points undercut the Democrat impeachment narrative that President Trump leveraged US security assistance and a presidential meeting to force Ukraine to investigate the president's political rivals, the memo reads. So that is exactly what the memo reads. Now, what is the defense? Let's get specific. Defense number one. The July 25th call summary shows no conditionality or evidence of pressure. That is not true at all, right? Now, why is that not true? Now, we know that while Donald Trump was speaking to Zelensky, he specifically said that he had a favor to ask, and the favor was to investigate CrowdStrike and this alleged server in Ukraine that is part of a conspiracy theory that Trump has bought into. He believed that Ukraine, not Russia, was meddling in the elections. Also, there's a wealth of evidence in the form of sworn testimony by Bill Taylor, Gordon Sondland, and Lieutenant Colonel Alex Vindman indicating that it was communicated to the Ukrainians that they wouldn't get the military aid that they so desperately needed unless they announced an investigation into the Bidens. okay, publicly on CNN on Fareed Zakaria's show. Now, let's go to the next defense. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky and President Trump have both said there's no pressure on the call. Now, what they're referring to there was this joint press conference with Donald Trump. We have video of that. So let's go to the video of their joint press conference.
President Zelensky, have you felt any pressure from President Trump to investigate Joe Biden and Hunter Biden?
I think you read everything. So I think you read text. I'm sorry, but I don't want to be involved to democratic, open, elections of USA. No, you heard that we had, I think, good phone call. It was normal. We spoke about many things, and I think, and you read it, that nobody pushed me. Yes.
In other words, no pressure.
President Trump.
Because you know what? There was no pressure. And by the way, you know there was no pressure. All you have to do is see it, what went on the call. But you know that. But you could ask the question, and I appreciate the answer.
Okay, yeah, so that was a bit of a hostage video. Trump is sitting right next to him going, what are you going to say? You know, and here's a guy who did hold up $400 million, $391 million of aid before. Zelensky feels a ton of pressure over that. He's sitting right next to him. Nonetheless, if you notice, 90% of the answer was, I don't want to get involved in your elections, and you can see for yourself what was said. And at the end, he finally says, no pressure.
He said, no push. I was not pushed. Uh-huh. Right? So yeah, you can argue that means pressure. But I want to remind you guys what it was like to be in high school, where let's say there's one person who has said negative things about another person in a class, and then there's the instigator who gets them together and points to person A and says, hey, why don't you tell person B what you said about him? Why don't you tell him what you said about him, right? And what does person A usually do? No, I didn't say anything. There was nothing said, nothing bad was said, yeah, right? Like, there's pressure in that very exchange right there. And you're dealing with a power imbalance. You're dealing with Donald Trump, who has power over your country when it comes to military aid, when it comes to assistance, when it comes to helping you fend off provocations from Russia.
No, guys, what are we having a conversation over? Are you kidding me? It's like, it would be insane for Zelensky to go, yeah, that guy pressured me, he's at fault. What? It would blow up to our relationship completely. No president can say that to an American president sitting in front of international cameras. I mean, that, why don't you just pull a hand grenade and throw it into the middle of your country? You can't, and especially with Trump, he'll go ballistic.
Right.
And so, no, that's absolute nonsense. What matters is what the Ukrainians are saying in regards to what actually happened. So the ambassadors are saying, yeah, they came and talked to us. Yes, they told us about the aid and et cetera. And if you wanna, I mean, this is insane, but if you wanna bring Zelensky to and, you know, question him, but he's in an impossible situation. I mean, he can't say either way. If he does, the Republicans will be furious or the Democrats will be furious. That's not a person that is relevant in these proceedings because of that.
What matters,
then the other part is that the Republicans say, oh, well, Trump also says there was no pressure.
Yeah, of course Trump says that.
Okay, yeah.
What matters is the evidence that's being presented in the form of sworn deposition, sworn testimony. And as I mentioned earlier, there are a number of both current and former Trump administration officials who are making it abundantly clear that Trump did apply this pressure and that there was quid pro quo. So let's go to the next defense. The Ukrainian government was not aware of the hold on US assistance during the July 25th call. That is untrue.
Well, that's the most untrue.
That is the most untrue, yeah.
Demonstrably false. Now we have several different witnesses saying, yes, we told the Ukrainians were perfectly aware. As I told you yesterday, a State Department official, Catherine Croft, says that the hold on the military aid came, quote, very early on. She went on to say that the problem was not bureaucratic, the Ukrainians were told. Okay, so it's not a simple matter of red tape. It was, and the Ukrainians knew about it weeks earlier than previously acknowledged. No question about it, the Ukrainians absolutely positively knew at the time of the call that the aid was being held up. It's a, you could call it a talking point and we can sit here and debate things, but it's like debating whether 2 + 2 = 4. We know it as a fact.
Well, and there's even more. I mean, aside from Croft's damning testimony, Donald Trump made the decision to put a hold on that military aid right before his call with Zelensky. And knowing that information, you can go back and look at the memo of that phone conversation and really understand what they're talking about in certain instances. So according to Vox, by the time Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky got on the now infamous July 25th call with Trump, that aid had yet to be sent. It's therefore no surprise Zelensky mentioned the assistance to Trump, to which Trump responded, he'd like Zelensky to do him a favor in return.
There's just no doubt about it. Look, all of this is nonsense. The last one that they're gonna get to is the one that they're gonna hang their hat on. And there's the issue of Trump's mental state of mind. Good luck with that, man. I mean, you're right, he is mental, but that's a very poor defense and wouldn't work for anyone else if they committed a crime. They go to the judge, go, oh, but your honor, you don't understand, I'm incredibly stupid. Okay, good luck with that defense. But this is all nonsense, political charades. Everyone knows what actually happened. It's as clear as it could possibly be.
So here's the defense, the next defense. The security assistance hold was lifted on September 11th. So they're making the argument, I mean, come on, I mean, what are you guys talking about? We released the money, he released the money, so there was no wrongdoing. Except, let's talk about why Donald Trump ultimately decided to release that money. Okay, the Trump administration had lifted its hold on military assistance to Ukraine following intense bipartisan backlash from lawmakers who argued that the funding is crucial for warding off Russian aggression in the region. That was, by the way, reported by Politico on September 12, 2019. Okay.
Yeah, that's not now. That's not a Democratic talking point. That is Establishment Magazine 101 back then saying Trump released it only because of intense bipartisan backlash. And John Bolton today talking about, no matter what you said about Turkey or Russia, Trump would not decide anything against them. And so we'll get to that story later because it's also incredibly damaging. But here, the only reason that he eventually signed the sanctions on Russia is because it passed 98-2 in the Senate. And he said, I don't want to. And in this case in Ukraine, he clearly did not want to release the military aid until they did the Biden investigation. But the Republicans, along with the Democrats, said, no, we already appropriated, you must send that aid. And he did it against all of his wishes.
And by the way, so Congress gets involved, there's intense bipartisan backlash, Donald Trump finally releases the aid. But behind the scenes, Vladimir Zelensky was scheduled to appear on Fareed Zakaria's show on CNN to announce the investigation into the Bidens. And because of Congress finally intervening and doing what they did, because of that bipartisan backlash, because of the fact that Donald Trump got pressured to release that aid, Zelensky didn't have to make that appearance. So these are the important things happening behind the scenes. We have so much evidence already in the form of sworn testimony. These are individuals who are working in Trump's administration right now who have testified against him, right? So this is a very weak defense. Republicans didn't want, you know, Democrats to launch this impeachment investigation because it puts them in a really difficult situation. On one hand, they're concerned about their political careers because if they speak out against Donald Trump, Trump's base will retaliate against them. On the other hand, if they focus solely on their political careers and defending the president, they're defending criminality. So it's wonderful to watch them struggle like this with these ridiculous, flimsy defenses.
Right, and finally, they're going to, those are the House, that's a memo coming out of the House Republicans on how they're gonna defend him. But there's also the idea of what John Kennedy said in the Senate. He's a Republican out of Louisiana. He said, quote, to me, it all turns on intent, motive. Did the president have a culpable state of mind, okay? Now, in other words, their final last stand is, well, no one can read Donald Trump's mind. And so it's possible that Donald Trump did pressure the Ukrainians, did do what is considered extortion, but he had a pure mind. He was actually really concerned about corruption happening in Ukraine. It just so happened that the only name he mentioned were the names he mentioned were Hunter and Joe Biden. But he just, in his pure mind, he didn't have intent to go after his political enemy. Mm-hmm. He didn't have intent to do extortion. It just, he had real legitimate concerns about Ukrainian corruption, and he had legitimate concerns about whether we should send them the aid at all, right? Because he loves Russia so much, he might maybe didn't want to send military aid to Ukraine. So in his mind was a pure cloud floating with nothing but good intent. And it just so happened that everything he said showed bad intent and was clearly criminal. But you can't say that it's criminal unless you have intent and you don't know his mind.
It's ridiculous.
No, good luck. Good luck with that defense. So it's hilarious on several different grounds. Number one, if you made that defense in court and said, yes, now look, Your Honor, I did go into a bank with a gun and I did point it at the teller's head and I did ask for the money, but my mind was pure. Okay, good luck, brother. Good luck, okay? I didn't really have the intent to rob the bank. I just happened to do all the things that involve robbing a bank, right? You're not gonna win on that, that's insanity, okay? No, it's not gonna happen, okay? The second thing is, everybody knows Trump's mind, man. He spills his own tea every freaking day.
Yep.
So he comes in, he's like, I don't like the Bidens. I want them investigated by Ukraine and China. He says it on national TV. It's not hard to figure out, because the guy's such an idiot. He can't keep anything secret. It's just nonstop verbal diarrhea. So yeah. Do we know what was in his mind? Of course we do. But look, now this is very ironic, defense of the Republicans. To be fair to the Republicans, they got nothing. So they gotta make stuff up. They're like, what do you want me to do? The guy, it's the most clear crime I've ever seen in my life.
They don't have to make things up. They could be principled, they could have a backbone, they could do the right thing. But they refuse to do that, because to them, to all these insane cowards running around, people like Rand Paul, people like Lindsey Graham, for them, their political careers are much more important than doing the right thing in protecting this country's democracy and this country's constitution. So let that sink in for a second. The party that's full of people who argue they're constitutionalists, who want Supreme Court justices who believe in the literal interpretation of the Constitution, will not actually defend the Constitution when push comes to shove.
100%. And by the way, today, Biden again, I think the fever's gonna break for the Republican Party. Are you insane? Look at them, man. Yes, it did for Justin Amash and Will Hurd, and for a couple of guys who fled Congress. And even on their way out, they don't say, except for Amash, they don't say like, he's definitely guilty. They're all like, and they either run for the hills or they stay and go, yes, Trump, my master, my lord, my savior. That's right, whatever he says. Yeah, you want me to make up insane things and say things that aren't remotely true? Of course, I'm a Republican, I'll do it in a second. They aren't going to break on that. The only way that the Republicans break is if they think they're gonna lose their seats. Please, if you're in the media or if you're in politics, stop being a child and having discussions about, oh my God, will the Republicans stand on principle? Will they have the courage to do the right thing? What are you, a 3-year-old? No, of course not. There's slimy politicians. Of course they're gonna do the wrong thing. The only thing that moves a politician, 95% of them, because now we have 5% who are actually clean politicians, but the other 95%, the only thing that moves them is power. Do you keep your power or do you lose your power? Any other discussion by a reporter is childish and ridiculous. And please learn politics. And so this constant discussion of what the Republicans are gonna do out of principle is insanity.
All right, we are gonna take a short break. When we come back, we are gonna share our presidential endorsements.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Hey guys, back on the Young Turks. Sorry, I forgot to look at your comments as we have been a little frenzied here. Oh, lots of super chats. All right, so man, there's a lot of comments about Warren. Okay, I'll read one from YouTube super chat. Warren will still be in smoky back rooms with the DNC. Please decide based on these facts. And she and Kitty. Kitty, thank you for participating. Appreciate it. And I'm aware of your guys' thoughts, some of you, on Elizabeth Warren, and don't assume that it's everyone, because it isn't, I know for a fact. Orpheus says, Cenk is definitely going to endorse Klobuchar. El Dragon, Azul, why are you laughing, Craig? You know, you don't know, it's coming up in a minute. El Dragon, Azul writes, saying, watching the main show while drinking coffee in my new TYT mug. My wife likes the very stable genius t-shirt I got her. Keep up the great work, hashtag too strong. Thank you guys, shoptyt.com if you want more of that. And Gabby Marita, as usual, with a great comment in the members section. You can't charge me with kidnapping. I eventually released the hostages.
Right.
Pretty good analogy. And I stole McConnell's shell, says. Announcement, Cenk, I've been waiting all week. Don't hold out. Okay, thank you. And a lot of you wrote long, long things. I appreciate it all, guys. We've got our endorsements coming up right now.
Yeah, I'm weirdly nervous, but.
I know, right?
Good. All right, so. Can we go to just. Anyway,
yeah.
Let's not use any B-roll right now. Okay, cool. Sorry.
You know, I think I got her nervous for some reason.
I know you did get me nervous. I don't know why. Stop doing it. But okay.
Sorry. Okay.
All right. So, I'm officially endorsing Senator Bernie Sanders as the Democratic nominee for president, and I want to take a moment to really make my case for why I'm endorsing him. I want to start off by saying that you can really learn a lot about a person based on who inspires them. And when I came across this video of Bernie Sanders reciting a speech by Eugene Debs from the early 1900s, it really spoke to me. So he did a documentary on Eugene Debs in 1979, and here he is reciting Debs' presidential speech. He was running for president. Take a look.
It has taught me how to serve, a lesson to me of priceless value. It has taught me the ecstasy in the hand clasp of a comrade. It has enabled me to hold high communion with you and made it possible for me to take my place side by side with you in the great struggle for the better day. To multiply myself over and over again, to thrill with a fresh-born manhood, to feel life truly worthwhile, to open new avenues of vision, to spread out glorious vistas, to know that I am kin to all that throbs, to be class conscious, and to realize that, regardless of nationality, race, creed, color, or sex, every man, every woman who toils, who renders useful service, every member of the working class without exception, is my comrade, my brother and sister. And that to serve them and their cause is the highest duty of my life.
So Bernie Sanders and his selflessness is something that really speaks to me, because he's been principled. He's been fighting for those who are powerless for his entire career. That's him in 1979 reciting a speech from Eugene Debs. And it communicates to me that As early as the 1970s, he believed in fighting for the powerless. And that means the world to me, right? His record means a lot. And so let's talk a little bit about his record. He's always been consistent in fighting for workers and the disenfranchised. His record is clear. He's never deviated from the message. And I want to provide some evidence of that. Take a look.
At a time when the wealthiest people of this country have seen a tremendous increase in their income, while at the same time the standard of living of working people and poor people has declined, I will be damned if I will vote for a proposal which will stick it to the middle class and the working people. And Mr. Speaker, I've got a problem. I've got a problem with a president and a Congress which allows 5 million children to go hungry, 2 million people to sleep out on the streets, cities to become breeding grounds for drugs and violence. And they say, we're getting tough on crime. If you want to get tough on crime, let's deal with the causes of crime. Let's demand that every man, woman, and child in this country have a decent opportunity and a decent standard of living. Let's not keep putting poor people into jail and disproportionately punishing blacks.
And while he has consistently fought for injustices domestically, he also continues to fight for injustices worldwide. In fact, he has been the only candidate who has spoken out against the imprisonment of Lula da Silva in Brazil. He is a political prisoner, and luckily recently he was released. There was a crooked justice minister who imprisoned him, so Jair Bolsonaro, a fascist, could be elected in Brazil. And after Lula was released, Bernie Sanders did put out a statement in support of Lula. He said, quote, as president, Lula has done more than anyone to lower poverty in Brazil and to stand up for workers. I am delighted that he has been released from jail, something that never should have happened in the first place. And Lula actually responded to him saying, thank you for your solidarity. You have always been my candidate for US president, for the US presidency. And I hope Democrats have the wisdom to nominate a candidate with your worldview. I hope American workers will make you US president. And he was also correct in speaking out against the military coup that happened in Bolivia recently. He has spoken out against what has happened to the Kashmiris and the provocations by Modi in India as a result of what's happening to the Kashmiris. And then finally, going back to domestic politics, people make this ridiculous argument that Bernie Sanders hasn't accomplished anything. What has he accomplished? He has accomplished a strong movement within the Democratic Party. He has accomplished the ability to actually, in a very legitimate way, reach across the aisle and appeal to people who might have a different ideology, but who understand how this economic system is rigged against them. And I think that that is powerful. And I want to talk a little bit about someone who endorsed him recently, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who never even considered running for Congress until someone like Bernie Sanders inspired her. And here's what she said recently to NPR in regard to her endorsement of Sanders. One of the things that's so important about what Senator Sanders is talking about and what this campaign is about is that it's far larger than a presidential campaign. This is about really creating a mass movement, a multiracial mass movement of working class Americans to guarantee healthcare, housing, and education as rights for all, to draw back our endless wars and to promote an agenda of peace and prosperity abroad, and to really address some of the systemic issues that are underlying a lot of the problems and inequalities in our economy today. He also has fought for things when it was unpopular to do so. Back in the early 1990s, he fought for gay rights when it was not a popular thing to do. Watch.
The same people that would vote to cut defense $177 billion, the same ones that would put homos in the military, the same ones that would not fund BRAC, the same
Mr.
ones
Chairman,
that would not clear up.
Mr.
No,
Chairman.
I will not. Sit down, you socialist.
Now, my ears may have been playing a trick on me, but I thought I heard the gentleman a moment ago say something, quote unquote, about homos in the military. Was I right in hearing that expression?
Absolutely. Putting homosexuals in the military.
You said something about homos in the military. Was the gentleman referring to the many thousands and thousands of gay people who have put their lives on the line in countless wars defending this country? Was that the group of people that the gentleman was referring to?
I'm talking about the military people in the military do not support.
That's not what we were talking about. You use the word homos in the military. You have insulted thousands of men and women who have put their lives on the line.
I'm talking about you and liberals like you that.
I trust Bernie Sanders. I believe in what he's fighting for. And I do believe that big structural change, systemic change, is something that's possible with his leadership. And as a result, I am honored to endorse Senator Bernie Sanders as our next president of the United States.
Okay, my turn. Here we go. So I think that the Young Turks has been open-minded to all the candidates. We've interviewed more than half the candidates here. We've had amazing conversations with people all across the spectrum, all the way from John Delaney and Tim Ryan to Tulsi Gabbard and Andrew Yang. We gave all those candidates oftentimes their very first shot in front of a national audience. And no matter how much we agreed or disagreed with them, we respected them and gave tough but fair interviews. And we don't do company endorsements at the Young Turks. All of our hosts have different opinions. Our reporters are do objective journalism, and I'm incredibly proud of them. But the hosts get to endorse whoever they want. So I'm going to do an endorsement today. So I want to tell you guys, if for those of you who suspected that I love Elizabeth Warren, it's true, I do. I think she's fantastic. I think she's smart, strategic, incredibly progressive. I think she's done minor miracles like the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. She did that when she wasn't even a senator. And to this day, that is a work of wonder that she could get that past Republicans and Democrats who are both opposed to it. And we have the great honor of having two giant progressives in this race. Having said that, I endorse Bernie Sanders. So why? I'm gonna get back to that picture in a second because I think that it's relevant. I wanna get to it at the end. So first of all, on Bernie. Yes, he is slightly more progressive than Elizabeth Warren, and different people have different opinions on how much more progressive. I think their policies are very similar, and I trust both of them to be true progressives, and I think they've both proven that over and over again. But there are two other factors that are very, very important. I think the right tack is revolution, not reform. And by revolution, I mean a political revolution, obviously. And so I don't want to negotiate with this current system. I think it'll take too long, and I don't think that it's the right strategy. I would like to do a full frontal assault. And I don't say that because it's just in my nature and I want to be aggressive or I want to be a tough guy. No, I think it is the sure path to victory. So if you actually want to get those bills passed, yes, I know that obviously I'm not saying the other candidates. The other candidates are centrist, moderate, conservative. They have no chance of ever getting any of those progressive priorities passed. I think Elizabeth Warren does have a chance. I think she does have a smart strategy. But in my opinion, Bernie Sanders' strategy is going to be quicker, more effective. Otherwise, I wouldn't have picked him. And I think that the right thing to do is to completely and utterly challenge the system, which is what Bernie has been doing all along. For what? To what effect? Well, look, if you say, I'm going to nibble around the edges, the Democratic leadership will nibble you to no end. And they'll just keep on going till the cows come home. Look, this is they'll do the same thing the Republicans did to Obama. Oh, yeah, let's do a beer summit. Let's do a get together and have a tea party. Let's do this, let's do that. But they're not going to move because it misunderstands what they care about, and that is donor money. So now Bernie Sanders has been the one candidate that has clearly said that he is going to be up against that system in its entirety. And that is why he has earned the disdain and the hatred of the mainstream media, almost all the mainstream politicians. And yes, that's part of the reason why you can trust him. Because this current corrupt system says that is the one guy we cannot tolerate. Why? Because they have a sense instinctually that is the one guy that can actually change things. So let's talk about that now. 40 years, the guy's been on the right side. 40 years he fought for you on civil rights, all the way back when he was a student, nowhere near a politician. Led a group that infiltrated to prove that there was this discrimination in housing when he was a student. He would have white couples go in into housing complexes. They'd offer them the space. African Americans would go. They would not offer them the space, and they would expose them. And then when they came to arrest African Americans in one of those acts of civil disobedience, in another instance, he chained himself to an African American woman and said, "If you're going to arrest her, you're going to arrest me." That was when he was a young guy, had nothing to do with politics. He truly believed it, and he's believed it all along. In favor of gay rights and gay marriage, going back decade after decade into the 1970s, 80s, 90s. Now, the mainstream media gives credit to Johnny-come-lately politicians in the Democratic establishment who finally got to that position in the year 2013. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? On every issue, workers' rights, workers' pay. He fought to get you higher wages with Amazon, and it worked. He's fought to get you higher wages on all of these. Criminal justice reform, the issue of corruption, climate change, the endless wars. How many times did he fight against the endless wars? And single payer. Now, Nancy Pelosi says she's got a poster of single payer in her basement from 30 years ago. Well, that's very interesting. But Bernie Sanders didn't leave it in the basement. He fought for it. And when everyone was opposed to him, he would not bend, because he's a rock. And so if he fought for us for 40 years, we owe it to him now to fight for him. So I want to go to that picture that we showed you in the beginning. You know, sometimes you see Bernie and the media will get on him. They'll talk about his age, but not the age of others. And you see a little bit of slumped shoulders. You know why? Because he carried us. He carried us for 40 years. It's time for us to carry him back. So this is crunch time. This is when it matters most. And when no one had the courage to go after Hillary Clinton in 2016, he raised his hand and said, "I'll do it." And they said, "Oh, you're crazy. You got no chance." He said, "I don't care. I'm going to fight for what's right, because that's what I've been doing from get-go." And it's true. And look, I'll end on that, guys. You could listen to the naysayers in the mainstream media all day long, and they can't stand him because they know he stands for change, real change. But does anyone really believe that Bernie Sanders isn't the most honest guy you've ever seen in politics? Even his detractors, if you got him in a room where they thought, you know, nobody would hear them, will say, "Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, the guy is really honest. I mean, he does really believe those things. We don't agree with him. We think he's crazy, but he does believe those things." No one can question his integrity. So if you're asking who should be the leader of the movement, the leader of the country, and yes, the leader of the Democratic Party. Well, if you want to truly change the Democratic Party and have it represent the people and not the corporate donors, the choice is clear. It's Senator Bernie Sanders. So I'm proud to endorse him today. Okay, now let's talk it through a little bit, okay? So guys, we just both endorsed Bernie Sanders. It was a hard decision for me because I do believe, and no one will move me off of it, that Elizabeth Warren is an honest, wonderful, true progressive, and maybe the smartest person I've ever seen in politics. So at the end of the day, I went with Bernie because I think he's been at this longer, and for all the reasons I just explained, right? And he's a rock, and maybe the GOAT. G-O-A-T, the greatest of all time, okay? So it's no diss on Elizabeth Warren to say, yeah, but he's Muhammad Ali, okay? Now, a lot of folks are saying, okay, now we should attack one another, Warren and Sanders. Terrible idea. So I don't know if you got the memo. Joe Biden's still leading by 6 points in the national polls. Against Warren, he's leading by 10 against Bernie Sanders. In Iowa, in the last poll, Pete Buttigieg has now taken the lead. Pete Buttigieg. So Pete Buttigieg is the fakest progressive I've ever seen in my life. The mainstream loves him. Not one negative article, not one, a million against Bernie. And now all of a sudden, as I told you that if they think Bernie's out of the way, they think that, we don't think that at all, okay? That they would attack Warren. And here they come, they're attacking Warren 100%. But Buttigieg getting a complete and utter free ride. His favorables are sky high because no one's ever told the people what he actually thinks. Oh, they're like, oh, he's so smart. Did you know he speaks Norwegian and plays the piano? I don't care. It's wonderful that he's smart. I care about that. But I care about his policies. Did you know that he was for Medicare for All in the beginning of the campaign? And a couple of months later decided, nah, I'm a slimy politician. Now I'm against Medicare for All. In fact, I'm gonna do Republican talking points against Medicare for All. Joe Biden today talking about how once Trump is gone, he really believes that the Republicans will work with him. I mean, come on, look, Joe Biden honestly has a terrible record. He's the one that put all the student debt on us with the bankruptcy bill. He did the crime bill, which is horrific and locked up millions of people. And he voted for the Iraq war. He's still against busing. I mean, I can go on and on. But to me, even all those terrible votes and leadership on those is worse, is not as bad, I should say, as him saying, no, I think the Republicans will work with me because I'll eventually convince them. Are you insane? Well, that shows me that you know nothing about politics, nothing. So while we have Buttigieg, Biden, and the others promising, and Biden literally said that to rich donors. He said, I promise you nothing will fundamentally change. That's a quote, right? You're attacking Warren and Sanders if you're on one of those two sides? Are you crazy? Train your fire on the actual opponents. So it doesn't mean that Biden and Buttigieg are as bad as Trump. That's crazy talk. That's not true. But at the same time, if you've got a choice, and my God, you've got a choice now, back your guy with 100% fervor, but know who is currently leading, and the press will not ever, ever tell you their real record. So what are you doing online attacking one another when you have this incredible record of, in Joe Biden's case, of supporting conservative position after conservative position? Did you know that he made the Bush tax cuts for the rich permanent? And a deal so bad, corporate Democrats hated it. They're like, Joe, what did you do? And then he bragged about it. Even Michael Bennett got outraged during the debate saying, Joe, you screwed us on that deal. You did a deal with Mitch McConnell. So while these targets are sitting there and the press won't say anything bad about them, especially Buttigieg, my God, guys, if you're gonna do anything online or anywhere else, at least educate the American people about the true records of those guys.
I agree.
While you support the progressives.
So I agree. I agree with you on that. And look, this is, I think, a personal flaw of mine as well. Not in going online and attacking, you know, Warren. I've been critical of her. I've critiqued her. However, I think that I have this mindset because we're in it every day and we see what we see, and we're very detail oriented when it comes to these candidates. You just assume that everyone else sees what you see, and people can notice all of the giant flaws with Biden as a candidate, and how much of a risk people would take in nominating him to go up against Trump. But look, the majority of people don't know, right? The majority of people don't have the resource of time to get into every little policy decision and every little detail of each candidate, which is why it is important to not just assume that it's either gonna be Bernie or Warren. I feel like that's the conversation taking place in progressive circles right now, and you can't make that assumption. I do see Buttigieg rising in the polls. I do see the insane, unbalanced media coverage for candidates like Buttigieg, Klobuchar, and Biden. And so it's really up to us, members of the independent media or political activists, to be very clear and very strategic in spreading the message about what these candidates actually entail policy-wise, what their records entail. And we gotta be very hyper-focused on defeating the biggest threat at the moment. And that threat right now is Joe Biden.
So it's almost like making the same mistake the Republicans made. Oh, Trump will never win, so let's just attack each other all day long. No, he was leading in the polls. What's wrong with you? And right now you think, oh, Joe Biden, he's feckless, etc. You think, just like Anna said, that everybody knows what you know. Let me tell you the number of actual voters that know what Joe Biden did with the bankruptcy bill. Zero. Nobody knows it. Why? The press won't cover it. I mean, I asked him.
You're right, the press doesn't cover that.
Yeah, I asked him in a press gaggle, his spokespeople in a spin room after the debate, and they laughed. And none of the other press followed up at all, ever, 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 right? So look, he said you cannot discharge your debt if you're a student. If you're Donald Trump, you can discharge that all day long. You can do 6 bankruptcies and you're right back in the game, right? But if you dare to take out a student loan, Joe Biden crushed you on behalf of the credit companies that were based in Delaware and that gave him donations. He was known as the senator from MBNA. That was a credit card company. Yet the press doesn't talk about it. No, so it's our job to do actual education, not the smear people, to actually talk about their record, not their personal lives, their record, okay? On Buttigieg, there's a fury in South Bend in the African American community. And the rest of the press goes, I don't care. I don't care about African Americans in South Bend. I don't care. Oh, he systematically got rid of so many black officers in South Bend. Don't care. He fired anybody who'd find, who told people about it. Don't care. Did you know he speaks Norwegian? So look, guys, this is crunch time. The primaries start at the beginning of February. There's only a couple of months left. So if you're gonna fight for Warren or Sanders, do it now and do not make the same mistake that the Republicans made in their primary of only attacking one another, thinking, oh, Trump can't possibly win. Those other two and some of the other establishment Democrats can win and are currently winning. So let's go get them. Yes. We heard everyone out. Look, you should watch a debate or interview that turned into a debate with John Delaney that I had here. But he's a good guy. He's at least honest, unlike some of the other politicians. And he said, look, this is my position and I'm not hiding it. That's fair. A lot of politicians didn't come on this show. Why? They couldn't take the heat. And so they didn't want their records challenged. And they know the rest of the media won't challenge them. They can do softball interview after softball interview. Pete Buttigieg's team claims, oh, we're the most open to the press. Yeah, you're open to Fox News. You're open to the corporate media who's constantly, you know, being very nice to you. Let's put it that way, okay? Are you open to press who actually looked at your real record? Oh, no. I won't ever talk to them. So let's get to it, guys. It's now winning time. So for God's sake, and if you, whoever your candidate is, volunteer for them. And look, the donations they're doing great on, but keep that going, okay? But work for them and know that we have to have a progressive win in this election. We're so close, we're on the doorstep, but we're not past the doorstep. And if the election were held today, we would not win. So you've got to work harder. And you gotta know who you're working for, but also be smart about who you're working against. All right, we gotta wrap up on this. Okay, so yeah. When we come back, we actually have a ton of campaign news. Bernie Sanders got another endorsement today, perhaps even more important than ours. and then that story that I mentioned about Biden, we're gonna get into the details because it's maddening. Maddening what he said about Elizabeth Warren, but more importantly, what he said about Republicans. We'll be right
back. At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's ExpressVPN.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Back. We hope you're enjoying this free clip from the Young Turks. If you want to get the whole show and more exclusive content while supporting independent media, become a member at TYT.com/join today. In the meantime, enjoy this free segment. All right, back on the Young Turks. Look, there's millions of comments. Let me read a bunch of them because it's important on a day like today. Now, first member section is always tyt.com/join to become a member. Supporting this show makes all the difference. We can't do independent media without you guys. And you know, and if it wasn't for you guys and this didn't exist, all we'd have is the corporate media. So tyt.com/join. Thank you guys. All right, Kuro268 says, yay, Anna hitting them with the Anabama slammer from the top rope. I love all these new nicknames for Anna's finishing move. Hashtag not me, us. Quid pro Cuomo writes in, he's not only the president we deserve, but also the president we need. Thought you'd be pretty foxy, didn't you? Writes in, you're a beautiful person, Anna. This is a movement we will win together with love and solidarity. Hashtag not me, us. Penny Pode writes in, don't hide it, Anna. That video of Bernie reading Debs makes me tear up too. Embrace it.
It's not that it's a hard video to watch. Okay, quick inside story. The last time I went on Cuomo's show to debate, I watched that video in my car. Uh-huh. Like I watched it again.
To get pumped up?
Yes.
You're awesome. The Alabama slammer.
It does get me emotional, but yeah, it's because you know that he's fighting for you, right? You're not alone.
Yeah. Cinnabartab writes in, all in caps for the first sentence. Cenk Uygur, you snake. You had me fooled for half a second. That being shouted, excellent endorsement. We need a complete change in representation. Thank you, I appreciate it. Mama Susie says, oh my God, Cenk, you made me cry. I thought you were going to endorse Warren, who I love, but not as much as Bernie. Well, right there with you, sister. I'm the Derpy Dragon says on Twitter, I love Anna Kasparian's endorsement. And she's a role model for all. If I ever have a daughter, I'm showing her clips of fiery Anna and clips of salty Anna for lulls. Okay, so it's very sweet of you guys. Now 1,000 super YouTube super chat comments, and we really appreciate it when you do that. So I'm gonna read them as quickly as I can. Ken Martin, thank you Anna, hashtag Bernie2020, hashtag not me us. Imran Khan says, Cenk, you can still change your mind, please endorse Bernie. Later, Imran Khan goes, Cenk, I love you.
That's amazing.
That's very funny, Imran. We appreciate it. Jared Nielsen says, quoting Bernie, I'm willing to fight for someone I don't know.
Yes.
Anna quoted that in her debate with Tommy Lahren. Chris Adams says that basically I wasted my breath and I should have said, I was hoping you'd just say, same, LOL, for Anna's endorsement. James Murray says, USOB, I really thought you were endorsing Warren with that opening. Well played, sir, well played. Look, I'm not doing it to play, guys. I really respect her to no end, and I think she's fantastic. And if she were to become president, it'd be a great, great day in America. She's leagues above the other candidates. I just happen to think Bernie is better for the reasons that I explained earlier. And Ryan Benjamin says, I Googled Bernie Sanders' march with MLK and I was sold. Hashtag Bernie2020. William James says, burn down the swamp with a B-E-R-N. Howard D says, remember I called this misdirect. I almost said Howard Dean. Wouldn't be him, he blocked me on Twitter. Bridget Graham says, just donated another $10 to Bernie. Thank you, Anna, for your heartfelt endorsement. I feel the same. Medicare for all now. Ray De Los Santos says, that's great, Cenk. I love Warren, but feel the burn. Josh Hedge says, you made the right choice. I'm 100% with TYT. Zach Sherman says, good move, Cenk. Thank you guys, all of you, for participating. Remember, we do this show together, okay? We're the Young Turks together. And now let's go make a difference in the world. And I'm positive we can do that. All right.
All right. I'm going to move forward to the next story. Let's talk about Biden. So, Joe Biden participated. I apologize. Actually, we have one more Bernie story to do. Today we shared our endorsements for Bernie Sanders separately, both Cenk and I did. And we're not the only ones. In fact, the largest registered nurses union has officially endorsed Bernie, and they also did so back in 2016. It's the National Nurses United Union. And Gene Ross, who's the co-president, specifically said, look, we need fundamental change in this country. And we believe that Bernie Sanders is the right person to accomplish that. And so again, this is the second time that the nurses union has decided to endorse Bernie Sanders.
Look, the nurses union is super important. They've been fighting for Medicare for all, in other words, their patients for all of this time. And one of the reasons they said was, look, he was willing to fight for us when no one else was last time around. Very similar to the reason that Anna and I gave. And so it's great to see a strong union basically backing progressives who backed them. And so some folks have financial interests in different things, but the nurses union is always true. And so here they are true again and saying Bernie's the guy, we're gonna fight for him. And by the way, look, no disrespect to the other unions, but I might take the nurses over everyone else combined.
What's interesting is they cited his push for Medicare for All as one of the main reasons for endorsing him. And so these are individuals who currently work in our medical industry and they understand the importance of a single payer system. So people in America could actually get the healthcare that they deserve and need.
Yeah, well look, and why I say I take the nurses over everybody is because they've been out on the front lines and they've been fighting for the progressive movement for Medicare for All, and they've been doing it aggressively, no apologies, unbowed. Now the only one giving them a run for their money is the teachers union, because the teachers striking all over the country saying we've had enough. Mm-hmm. This is what a rebellion looks like. This is what a revolution looks like. So thank you to the National Nurses United for having that courage to back Bernie Sanders here.
All right, let's move on from a great presidential candidate to a not so great one, Joe Biden. Joe Biden participated in a CNN town hall last night, and he was certainly throwing jabs at progressivism, specifically Warren and Medicare for All. Let's watch.
You talked about her support for Medicare for All last week. You attacked her. I think it's a fair word. The quote was from you, it's just an elitist attitude about you're either my way or the highway.
Let's get something straight. She attacked me. She went out and said, Biden, she didn't use my name anymore than I used her. She said, Biden is a coward. Biden is in fact in the pocket of. Biden is, and she went down the list of saying that I should be in a Republican primary.
She did say you were in the wrong primary.
Oh yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you call that? What do you call that? So I responded by saying, no, here's what I said. It's not about her. It's about the attitude that exists right now. If you disagree with me, you must be bad. They question motive.
So I think that it's important to answer Biden's question. What do you call that when Warren mentions the fact that the big donors, he's in the pocket of big donors, right? It's called the truth. And there is lots of evidence that we can provide to show why that's the truth. I'm just gonna give you one little piece of information. This was reported by Bloomberg earlier this year, where Biden had given a speech to some of the big donors that are helping fund his campaign. And this is what he said. Remember, I got in trouble with some of the people on my team on the Democratic side because I said, you know, what I found is rich people are just as patriotic as poor people, not a joke. I mean, we may not want to demonize anybody who's made money. And you know, when it comes to the elitism claim against Biden, keep in mind that at this event, there were 100 well-dressed donors at the Carlyle Hotel on New York's Upper East Side. They were dining on lobster hors d'oeuvres. That is elitism. Speaking to 100 incredibly wealthy people who are funding your campaign and telling them that they're not bad people, wealthy people are great, they're patriots, while there are people suffering and living on the streets right now as a result of this ever widening income and wealth gap, that's elitism.
So I want to talk about the two different things that Joe Biden said as a defense of his policies. He said, well, you know, if you disagree, you must be bad, okay? Well, no, it just means we disagree. So, but what a lot of the media does is they gaslight us and they say, no, you don't disagree, you're on the same team. But we're not on the same team. Joe Biden says no to Medicare for All. He says no to Green New Deal. He says no to ending corruption and taking money out of politics. He theoretically says it, and then he goes, give me the money, give me, which I'm gonna get to in a second. He's never made any of those changes. He works with the Republicans. He doesn't bring them to our side, he goes to their side. And we've listed a dozen examples of that in this case. So look, whether we think you're a bad person or not, and I don't think you are a bad person, I don't agree with you. So sad day for you. So like there's this, you want to talk about elitism. There's this feeling by Joe Biden and his supporters that you must bow your head and support Joe Biden. But why must I? There are over 20 people in the election. I could choose anyone I like. How about I choose someone I agree with? Why is that even slightly controversial? Okay, now the second point. He says they're going to motive. But I am Joe.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so now look, I have a slight difference with what you said, Ann. Look, mm-hmm. I think wealthy people can be perfectly patriotic. I know that you agree with that. But to me, the more important quote was when he told donors in a different event, nothing, I promise you, nothing will fundamentally change.
Exactly.
Can't have it, can't have it. Not only do I disagree with that as a matter of policy, but Joe, when you go promise all of your wealthy donors, don't worry, I won't change the system, then yes, I question motive. And it's not because you're a bad person, it's because the system corrupts. As Professor Larry Lessig says, you lean to the green. He doesn't say it about Biden, he says it in general, okay? I do say it about Biden. He does lean to the green. He has leaned to the green his whole life. His nickname was the senator from MBNA. He would say, well, hey, what could I do? These credit companies are in Delaware, they give me all this funding. Exactly, I question motive, I do. But we're not anywhere near done with him.
Right, we're not. So let's go to more of this elitism talk by Biden during this town hall.
What specifically is elitist about how she's pursuing Medicare for all?
No, the attitude that we know better than ordinary people what's in their interest. I know more than you, let me tell you what to do. And it wasn't she's elitist, the attitude is elitist, that people can't make up their own minds. You like your health insurance, but you shouldn't like your health insurance. You should have to give that up. I'm gonna demand you not have that. We're gonna give you something better. I know what I want. So that is an attitude that says, okay, you're telling me it's my way or the highway. And it's not about her, it's about the attitude out there. The attitude that we know best, you do it my way. Where I come from, growing up in a middle-class neighborhood, the last thing I liked is people telling my family and me what we should know, what we should believe, as if somehow we weren't informed, that we, just because we didn't have money, we weren't knowledgeable. I resent that.
Biden thinks that the American voter is dumb, okay? In that statement, he thinks you're dumb. Because in reality, under the system that we have right now, the lack of Medicare for all indicates that we need to rely on whatever our employer offers us. And then we need to be attached to that employer just so we don't lose that crummy health insurance, right? So look, you should have a choice to see whichever doctor you wanna see. Are you able to do that under this system right now? No, you gotta make sure the doctor's in network, you gotta make sure the doctor takes your health insurance, you gotta make sure you have health insurance, period, right? How many doctors or how many hospitals will ask you immediately whether you have health insurance before they even see you? Is that choice? We don't have choice under this system, right? He's talking about choice when it comes to healthcare, right? When it comes to private insurance. We don't have that choice, first of all, in many cases, and we certainly don't have a choice when it comes to which doctors we wanna go to and see under this system. With a single payer system, you get to go to any provider you want without having to worry about whether this person or this doctor or this specialist is in network. So don't let him treat you like you're stupid and make you think or treat you as if you don't know that we don't really have a choice under this system.
Well, honestly, the corporate media is so bad because look here. What Warren and Sanders want to do is they want to say Medicare for all means that you don't pay co-pays, deductibles, etc., and the government handles that. Now, of course, there's different costs, and we do pay those costs in different ways. For example, top 5% do pay higher taxes. Wall Street would pay higher taxes. Okay, so but it's not a good analogy. Is the fire department? Okay, so. Saying, hey, you know what, I think the fire department, it's elitist that you don't get to have a choice. You should get to have private insurance, private fire insurance or public fire insurance, and you get to make the choice. What? That's not elitism, that doesn't make any sense. Because if then I have to pay into fire insurance, and even including public fire insurance, I would have to pay into it in that system. Well, if I don't have the money, you're telling me you're gonna let my house burn down, you're gonna let my kids burn down. And healthcare is not that different. Your life is on the line, both in fire, police, and healthcare. So when he says, oh, she's making the choice for you, but what the corporate media doesn't tell you, they never challenge him on that is, but wait a minute, under Medicare for all, you're covered no matter what. If you don't have money, it doesn't mean that you can't be uninsured or underinsured. You don't ever have to worry about taking drugs or not taking drugs because you don't have the money for it. In the system that Biden and Buttigieg advocate for, it's a false choice. You have to pay either way. You either pay into the public system or into the private system. But the reason fire departments don't work that way and the police don't work that way is because when your life is on the line, it shouldn't be based on whether you're rich enough. And so, and then the great irony of him going and now declaring, I'm gonna do super PACs, I'm gonna go and make sure all my rich buddies are taken care of and that there's not gonna have any change. And Warren and Sanders won't take a dime in corporate PAC money or lobbyist money. And they take it only from the average American, and somehow they're the elitists, and the guy serving the rich is for the average guy. The whole thing is a sham. It's a myth propped up by the mainstream media. Go, oh, that's regular Joe Biden, regular Joe Biden. Man, people in Michigan and Wisconsin love this guy who takes all this endless money from the richest people in the country.
Right.
Ridiculous.
Finally, I want to show Joe Biden what real elitism looks like. Take a look.
You know, shortly after I graduated in 68, Kent State, 17 kids shot dead. And so the younger generation now tells me how tough things are. Give me a break. No. I have no empathy for it. Give me a break. Because here's the deal, guys. We decided we were going to change the world, and we did. We did. We finished the civil rights movement to the first stage. The women's movement came to the beam. So my message is, get involved. There's no place to hide.
To tell young people who are drowning in student loan debt, who are dealing with record underemployment, who are dealing with a rigged economic system where wealth and income inequality is the norm and it continues to get worse, to tell them, give me a break, is elitism at its finest, period.
Yeah, and he dresses it up as I did this and I did that in the previous generation. You're against busing. You were proud to work with segregationists. If you want to talk about people who actually worked in the civil rights movement, how about Bernie Sanders, who marched in the civil rights movement, who chained himself to an African-American woman as an act of civil disobedience, saying, if you have to arrest her, you're going to arrest me, who did all those things. That you were against a lot of those proposals because you were so proud to work with the Republicans. Now you want to come back and take credit for it while you're blaming a whole new generation. Okay, anyone who is objective about this would not entertain the conversation about who's the elitist and who isn't. It is patently clear. And yes, it's the money. And if you say no, millions of dollars given to Joe Biden throughout his entire career didn't affect his votes at all, including on the bankruptcy bill. You either don't know a single thing about politics or you're lying on his behalf. And now I want to ask you, who's the objective ones?
When we come back from the break, we'll discuss what he had to say about Republicans working with him. And then we'll move on to other topics, including John Bolton continuing his snitching strategy on Donald Trump.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.